Today is the 19th, eh? Oh, 18 July 2021, Sunday. Eh? We will be continuing from this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. We are at page 68, last paragraph. Without the experience of enlightenment, how can aspirant in the Mahayana tradition, meaning the great beings, the bodhisattvas, rise to the seemingly impossible task of helping all sentient beings to become enlightened? So this statement is very true. Eh? Without the experience of enlightenment, if you are not realize it, you can't. Eh? You can't really rise to the occasion of helping sentient beings to become enlightened. That is a very important criteria or understanding. That's why chances are, when you take this bodhisattva vow, this life, you will have the ability to awaken, because in the past, you could have this understanding. You could already have this understanding. That is also the reason why the conditions come again and you have the ability to do it. That's why my advice is just go ahead and do it. Don't be influenced by your thought. Do not doubt. Have faith, for you have nothing to lose. Then this will pave the way for many things to happen. That's why he said, without the experience of enlightenment, how can aspirant of Mahayana tradition, meaning the bodhisattvas and all the great beings, rise to the seemingly impossible task of helping all sentient beings to become enlightened? How can practitioner of the bodhisattva path truly help others attain enlightenment when they themselves have not done so? Doubted by such question, many practitioners place exclusive emphasis on cultivating faith in and devotion to the Buddha, while others focus solely on striving to realize emptiness, wishing to escape from the toil and travail of life. Such responses are understandable, as they are only human beings. If we do not know how to swim, how are we going to save others from drowning? And if at last we have learned how to swim and managed to get ourselves safely to the shore, why jump back into the roaring water and risk our life to save others? This attitude has led many practitioners to strive hurriedly to liberate themselves from suffering. This is what I mean by you have the Theravada thinking. Do you understand? So this is based on the idea and concept of Theravada tradition. Who said all this? Is from the thought, right? Alienated by the sentient world, these people seek only to remove themselves from the ocean of samsara. It becomes extremely difficult and takes an incalculably long time for them to generate the bodhi mind, because the self is there. Do you understand? Not to say impossible, but it will take a very long time. They haven't planted the seed of bodhi, which can really take them along the path to awakening and to realize Buddhahood. Otherwise, the self is so strong. Just like their question, why jump back? But the question is, who jumps back? He thinks he exists. He thinks he has already strived so hard to liberate himself or herself out of the suffering world, out of samsara, and reach the other shore safely. then why jump back to the roaring water and risk his or her life to save others? There is no more meaning because the Atta or Self is still there. Do you understand? You cannot liberate and you cannot awaken because the mark of a Self is still very strong. So in order to save living beings from drowning, one should not leave the water and seek safety on shore. And if you do not know how to swim, then the only place to learn how to swim is in the water, whether we like it or not. Likewise, the Bodhisattva must be practiced and cultivated in the midst of life, suffering, in the whirlpool of cyclical existence. However, to keep our head above water, we need skill, we need strength, as we cannot rely solely on the power of the Buddha or wait to become completely enlightened. Discernment, unshakable faith and vows, constant cultivation of love and compassion, and a penetrating insight into the nature of emptiness, meaning the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering states and non-self, are the four things we can bank on. Maintaining a balance in this four areas will safeguard and sustain us in time of difficulty. Eventually, it will subdue our aversion and affliction or afflictive emotion, leading us to the realization of emptiness, to the understanding of the interrelatedness of all beings and all conditions. We are penetrating the three universal characteristics to have all this understanding. Then you will understand the importance of the three sets of pure precepts when you avoid all evil and keep your precepts. This is meritorious. And when you cultivate the Dhamma, all the 10 meritorious actions will be performed. And when you cultivate all blessings and all merits and virtues and perfect them all, do you know what will happen to you? These are the things that will help you through in time of difficulty, in times of tribulation, in times of need, for you can therefore invoke power of merits and blessings. That's why they will become useful and handy. If you don't have all these tools, you probably cannot survive within the oceans of samsara. You will become miserable. But when you have all this, it becomes so much easier. You can even save them by advising them what to do because you have the understanding and the parami. Just like what I did, it is so easy. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Then develop wholesomeness and cultivate. Then invoke power and merits. Is it so difficult? It's so easy and straightforward. That's why you must have the vow. And you must vow life after life when you come. You must have this understanding. This is how you can break the coming obstruction. Otherwise, it's not easy. It's pretty difficult. That's why when it comes to karma, you don't play a fool. It can really obstruct you, and you don't know how to overcome it. You can become miserable. You will continue to play the game of suffering, life after life, entangling yourself through delusion. So this one, hopefully, Kayamita can really wake up and see the urgency. Huh? You continue to be deluded without the Dhamma. You will be like somebody playing the games of suffering, becoming miserable. over your entire life because you come without understanding. So to find the path and to treat or to tread firmly along it, we must undertake and commit to the Bodhisattva vows and three sets of pure precepts. This is the first step we should take to establish and maintain ourselves on a definite course that leads towards Buddhahood. That's why you have to start from somewhere via understanding and commitment. When the conditions are there, just persevere. Have faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Then they will take you along the way. Then I will teach you how to establish affinity with the great beings, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, and their nature. Then invoke power of merits for their blessing, protection, and guidance. Then thank them profoundly, profusely, and sincerely. Then have gratitude towards them. It will build up the causes and conditions, and the path will be very simple after that. Because you don't have to do it all alone. You develop affinity and you connect to their nature, then all this understanding will come. Causes and conditions will arise. Your form and mind, which is very delicate, fragile, and vulnerable, will survive no matter what happens. Okay, the next one is very important. On the Vinaya practice, to help us put our vows into practice and provide ourselves with a clear set of behavioral guidelines, we commit ourselves to the code of discipline set forth in a given system of precepts. The Sanskrit term for this various code or systems is Vinaya, which can be translated in English as discipline or restraint. That's why when taking our precepts, we always chant, we undertake the training rule to abstain, to restrain from violating the precepts. According to the scripture, Sakyamuni Buddha did not establish a set code of conduct for his disciples during the first 12 years of his teaching. Now you understand why. There was no Patimokkha or monk's rule for the first 12 years because they are all enlightened beings. Also because the early practitioners achieved such a high level of spiritual attainment and have such strong, deep, and positive karmic root that they never engage in any sort of unwholesome or destructive activity. Then later on, as a lot of not-so-learned monks joined or came in, the situation warrants rules. It was not only until the occurrence of specific instances of misconduct that threatened the integrity of the Sangha and the ability of the disciple to practice the liberation way that the Buddha began to institute rules of behavior for his followers or disciples. That's why you have more and more rules added until a total of 227 monks' precepts. Thus, we should know here that the precepts were not found in a vacuum on a set of abstract principles, but in direct response to specific needs and problems that arose within the earliest community of practitioners. So the intention behind the establishment of Vinaya was not to randomly impose a set of disciplinary strictures on practitioners, but rather to give them a set of realistic guidelines that would help them persevere in following the teachings of the Buddha and ultimately attain liberation. Actually, the precepts are more of a guideline. They are needed only when you are undergoing training or under training. The Buddha didn't want you to fall. If he didn't introduce the precept, a lot of people would take it lightly. And they will fall because they will say, the Buddha never said, I cannot do this. Who are you to tell me? So at least when the precepts are there, they have this fear. But fear is not the intention of the Buddha. It's a sort of restraint while you are going through the cultivation. That's why the precept says, you cannot sit on high seat. Why? Because if you don't have these rules, all the monk will tell you, they will not only be waiting for dana or offering, they will ask for it. Can you change this? Then the devotee will come, Bhante, what else do you want? Then they will give you a long list. But because of the patimokkha, the chair, the bed, and the bed are also defined, so they cannot be fanciful. So all these are meant for cultivators, is to train them. Then the other things about the patimokkha is, can you remember the Diamond Sutta sharing that we went through? What happened during the first 500 years during the Buddha Sasana? The first 500 years were so beautiful. There was this very strong golden age of liberation and enlightenment when all become enlightened very fast. Then the second 500 years was the era of Dhyan Samadhi, energy field and concentration, or the Buddhist or the Hindu type style of meditation. They came back. Then the third 500 years was the era of Sutra. Then after that, the fourth 500 years, which is the year 1600 AD and beyond, all the divisions, the technique, the method and of meditation, etc. appeared. Exactly like what the Buddha had predicted in the Diamond Sutta. All the divisions via methods and techniques and teachers are very common nowadays. So when you don't understand, that is the problem. The Buddha told his disciple, Venerable Ananda, only the maintenance of the Vinaya would ensure the continual existence of the Dhamma. That's why without the Vinaya rules, the Sangha will become misguided. But when the rules are not understood, they also won't serve the purpose. Then people will understand it through other definition or justification. He went on to say that what he meant was the fundamental principle of Vinaya practice as embodied in the five major precepts of prohibiting killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, verbal misconduct, and use of intoxicants. So these five precepts are the minimum that you must keep, even for lay person. Where these are the essence of morality, they constitute major evil if you violate them. The others are minor precepts, spinning off from all these strong fundamental precepts. As for the multitude of detailed minor precepts upheld by the monastic, which has been formulated in response to particular incident, the Buddha gave his follower permission to dispense with them as needed, should changing circumstances cause such rules to become more of a hindrance than of help. He added that in no way should codified set of regulations prevent his disciple from performing beneficial act in given situation. And that should they encounter ethical practice which conform to the spirit of the Vinaya and prove to be of benefit, but which he had not specifically mentioned, they should not hesitate to adopt them. So that is the flexibility of the Buddha. The Buddha is so flexible. He is not rigid. As for the rest, you can read it by yourself. I will have to skip to the five precepts and the 10 meritorious action. Now turn to page 29. The three sets of pure precepts. This one is very important. The precepts that has been discussed are common to both Theravada, the vehicle of individual liberation, and all the schools of Mahayana, in which emphasis is placed on the Bodhisattva practice, striving for the benefits of all sentient beings. So the essential purpose of transmitting the Bodhisattva precept is to arouse in person's mind an altruistic spirit of service to others and a firm dedication to the pursuit of enlightenment. Such spirit is called the Bodhi mind. Bodhi is a Sanskrit word derived from the same root as Buddha, and it can be translated to mean awakening, enlightenment, or wisdom. The foundation of the Bodhi mind is embodied in the four great vows you take while walking the Bodhisattva way. The first is to deliver the innumerable sentient beings. The second one is to cut off endless dissection. Then the third one is to master limitless approach to Dhamma, and finally to attain supreme Buddhahood. To help us actualize this four vow, we need to vow further to observe certain principles and guidelines that may help us conduct ourselves in an ethical and human manner, and purify our mind of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. For this purpose, here we transmit what are known as the three sets of pure precepts. This is how they come in. Please do listen. They contain the essential principles of all the different schools or systems of Bodhisattva precepts codified over the course of Mahayana Buddhism's long, rich history. Functionally, these three sets of pure precepts leads a practitioner to renounce evil deeds by keeping the precept, but they never emphasize on what constitutes evil. That's why we must understand what constitutes evil. I have modified this and make it a lot better. On the 26th of April, when you take this precept, you will understand. Just now I read through it already, then accumulate merits by performing beneficial deeds. Again, it's not enough. You have to cultivate all virtues and blessings until you reach the perfection of them all, and work for the salvation of all sentient beings. To do this, you need to cultivate wisdom so that you can liberate and take them all across. Then the vows to keep this precept embody the spirit of all Mahayana practices, means following the advice of the Buddha to stop all evil, to good and deliver all sentient beings. In a very real sense, these vows can be seen as the ultimate expression of the expression of all Buddhists in all eras. This is very important. We now turn to page 32. It says that by receiving the Bodhisattva precepts, one generates a vast amount of merits. This one is very important, not just by receiving the precepts. That's why you must bear this in mind. So receiving the Bodhisattva precepts alone, you can generate a vast amount of merits. It depends on your faith, your sincerity, and your understanding, because to take that first step is very powerful, very, very powerful. To plant the seed of Bodhi, that Bodhi mind, that one is very, very wholesome and meritorious. So bear in mind. Huh? This can be understood as follows. When you take the Bodhisattva precept, you see, he explained this. This one is the book from Fakusan, the abbot, the late abbot who already passed away a few years back, Sun Yan Pasi. He wrote this book. Like a simple guide to taking the Bodhisattva vows or walking the Bodhisattva way. So according to him, he said when you take the Bodhisattva precepts or vows, a seed is planted deep in your consciousness because this seed has been planted for the benefits of all sentient beings. The natural consequence of its maturation as you nurture it by keeping the precept is a growth in your compassion and a weakening of your propensity to do harm. With sustained cultivation and practice, there naturally arises in you a tendency towards wholesome action. As you go through life acting on the basis of love and compassion, you will come to experience a sense of security and stability. Why is this so? Because quite simply, you are no longer living your life in an obsessively self-centered, self-concerned way, always worrying about your own well-being and feeling constantly threatened and insecure. Now you understand why the Theravada tradition or way has problems. As your life is dedicated to others, you become less and less concerned with your personal benefit, gain or loss. Consequently, you no longer live in fear and cease to be agitated or plagued by suffering and vexation, which are all caused by the self-attachment or Sakkaya Ditti, because you come for the living beings, no more about you. The delusion is severe, and this is very important. You achieve stability of mind, the stability and security you so experience that create in turn an atmosphere of stability and security around you as a person that is palpable to other sentient beings. They feel safe around you. That's why when you are with me, you feel good, you feel safe and confident, and you can trust my nature. Then you can grow in your cultivation and wisdom. So you will have this ability when you go this way, the Bodhisattva way. Then people can feel you. They feel safe around you because you, out of genuine compassion and love, never intend to harm them, but only try to be of help. They also can feel a sort of joy in your presence. They feel safe with you. They can trust you. They have faith in you. So these are the benefits. Thus, in an immediate and very concrete way, after receiving the Bodhisattva precepts, you are benefiting sentient beings, a deed that generates a vast amount of merits. And it is in this way that we undertake the practice of the three sets of pure precepts to deliver all sentient beings. The observation of this precept actualizes our intention as put forth in the four great vows and sets us decisively and firmly on the Bodhisattva way. By now, I hope you understand where this is most important. Please make a note of all this. Then we will continue on page 35 on violation of precepts. The three sets of pure precepts and the four great vows, once received by the practitioner, are maintained across however many lifetimes it may take for the recipient to attain complete enlightenment. Once the seed of compassion and wisdom, also known as the essence of precepts, have been sown in the mind of a practitioner through the transmission of the Bodhisattva precept, it will remain in the recipient's storehouse consciousness or alaya consciousness in your deep nature and can only be cast off through the recipient's express declaration of his or her intention to abandon the Bohiman. That's why you can still do it if you want to in the future. The recipient of the Bodhisattva precept cannot lose or negate the essence of precepts simply by breaking one of them. Do not fear. After that, you will still break. But you will learn from it. And later on, you will understand it is never worthwhile to break them until finally there is no way you can break them. Then the rest, you can read them on your own. We have to rush a bit because it's already 10:30 p.m. That time, already very late. Oh, no more. That's good. The rest is not important because I didn't mark it in yellow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We still have 1 minute left. Do you have any questions? Next Tuesday, make sure you come for the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Then we shall do it with understanding. Today's sharing is very useful, very unique, and very important. Hope the Bodhisattva way will flourish and all kayamitas will become very different. Earlier on, the progress was happening year by year, but now it's happening day by day. Then later on, maybe moment by moment, because the kayamita force has become so strong. Also because of the kayamita fund and the way we share and the causes and conditions that bring forth. And of course, the retreat, etc. And also because over the last few years, transcript book that came out from the year 2014, 2015, and 2016 were very beautiful and very important. The moment living beings understand this teaching, their cultivation will become very different. And they will know how to overcome all their life problems with this understanding. They will know how to invoke power of merit to turn all these karmic obstacles around. Then their cultivation will become very simple and straightforward. Then the consciousness can become beautiful. That's why from now on, a lot of things can happen to our world consciousness. And a lot of beings who understand will be rejoicing. These events are very rare, and yet they have the condition to manifest. That's why in the year 2008, the request came from one of the great beings. So all these have come about because of causes and conditions. Okay, do you all have any questions? Then there is a question. They asked, Bradio, when you were doing the briefing, there was one section that you said, it is good to retake the vows for a period of about 3 months. Did I hear it wrong? I think the person didn't hear it that clearly. I said not to say retake the vows. You have to go through this Bodhisattva vows notes on the yellow card that I have given to you all. Because they are the vows that you take. So you have to familiarize yourself with it so as to enable you to develop the strong commitment, the faith and sincerity to walk this way. And as we reflect and contemplate, we can develop deeper understanding. Then your nature will suddenly shine forth when you see the beauty and the benefits of going this way for the sake of living beings. It is very different at that time. I could still remember when I was with my second last teacher. She talked about all this and it connected to. Then deep inside my nature, it just arose the understanding. Then later on, she also wrote to me and told me, I will continue from where I stopped this way of the Bodhisattvas. And she also knew a lot of things about my nature. That's why it was very different. That time, my nature already understood all this. The moment she mentioned all this, all the understanding just came back. That's why I can now do it differently for all of you, based on my nature's present understanding. And the way I evolve, it is very different, because I am an expert in one of the 10 perfections called adhittan or aspiration, vows or determination or affirmation, which my nature have more or less perfected. Because of that, my nature knows how to use this perfection of adhittana. That's why it can bring for a lot of understanding, speed up the cultivation in a very great way. And it can bring forth the understanding very fast, because technically, you don't have to do anything. You only need to do this. We are invoking the power of merits and blessing. Through the nature's law, it will pave the way for you to move. I used to tell those Kayamita who are close to me, technically this line, I didn't do anything. When the form and mind came, it already had all the causes and conditions all planted from the past. That's why everything is so direct and so smooth and like so perfect. It just happened by itself. How is this possible? It's possible because of the understanding from the past. The reason being, this nature has set the vows and aspiration to be so straight and so clear. That's why every life it comes, you will have this understanding, and everything is ready, like taken care of. I don't have to depend on anybody or anything. Everything is self-sufficient, and I just echo and flow and share. In no condition, nothing will happen. If you have the affinity and the condition, you will come. How do I create affinity with living beings? Can you remember? I had this one very unique additional vow. I vow whomsoever who arise as food for this nature of mine to take, I vow to liberate them all. That's why you can become food for my nature to eat, and you will benefit. That's why all these fishes that I eat, they will have affinity. But then how many can I eat? Of course, in one life, not that many, right? But over the aeons and aeons, it can be many. That's why a lot of you could have been fishes or any of this meat that I have taken before. But most of you might have affinity with my nature in other ways. Just like this line's affinity, initially maybe as fish and animals and chickens or satay. But later on, when you understand, you develop different understanding, then you become Kayamita, like this line. Then we can have such unique affinity. Do you think this affinity come about by chance? It's not by chance. I can see maybe in the future you will understand. That's why we went to Putosan. And do you remember Kuan Yin's nature? Then we went to Emei San, Chiu Hua San, Wu Tai San. Do you remember what some of the Kayamita say? They say, wow, how nice if I can have affinity with this, all these great beings. But you never know, just like this line, you may never know what this nature of mine is. Then let's say one day, you come to know what this nature is, and its nature happened to be like one of those creepings, then you will be in tears. Then you can be like what Mimi say, you are with the living one, and yet you don't know, and you think it's just an ordinary cultivator. Then in the future, when this one become one of the great beings with the statue, then you come back as a living being during the future sasana or next sasana. Then you go there on a spiritual trip. Then you ask, How come tears flow from my eyes for no apparent reason? How come I can feel like there is a deep connection with this being? Do you know why? This is because you have met this being before, but you didn't know who this being was then. That's why when you go to all these spiritual trips, the tears can just flow. There is something happening, but only your nature knows. But your thought doesn't know, because your thought, which is this life's memory, can never know. Do not be deluded anymore. Don't sleep anymore. Wake up. We have better end now. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit and transfer of merit. Then we can end. Yeah, just nice. Huh? Then we chant the closing puja. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito chirang lakanto lokasasana. So this is sharing merits with all the devas. So the English translation is, may all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the sasana. So we as cultivator is part of the sasana. That's why during all this spiritual trip, a lot of the kayamita, they know, like we were very well protected, like we are very, very blessed. The nature, the weather, like everything go our way. So all this is possible because we share merits with all these Dhamma protectors, devas and nagas of mighty power. Then we invoke their benefits to help protect the dispensation, or long protect the dispensation, means the sasana. So as cultivator, we are also part of the sasana, especially this era, the sasana of Sakyamuni. Then we chant, Etawata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbedeva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhya. The English translation is, may all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. So if you do that, they will rejoice and they will look after you. Then we share merits with all the departed ones who can receive them. Idang menya tinang ho tu, we repeat it 3 times. The meaning is, let these merits accrue to our departed relative, and may they all do be well and happy. Then we chant the blessing for the nation. Devo vasat kalena sasa sambati hito cha vito bhavat loko cha raja bhavat dhammiko. The English translation is, may the rain fall in due season, and may there be the right condition for all good fortune. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the government, rulers, and kings always be righteous. Then finally, we invoke power of merits for our condition to progress along the path of Dhamma. Ipmina punyang kamina amibala smagamo satang smagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. The English translation is, by the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is finally realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, just nice. Yeah? We end. So we will stop there. Yeah? We are at page 78. We are going to 78, yes. Okay, so at least we finish. the second section. So this is record is still slightly before 4 o'clock. So I can give you 45 minutes of meditation. We must develop the awareness-based meditation. So I will off the light. Then you can all have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. To develop this awareness-based meditation is very simple, like the word awareness-based. We only need to maintain awareness, silent our mind completely. So the four support to help develop awareness-based meditation is very useful. So the first one is to relax, completely relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. Just relax. Then after that, maintain awareness. The second support means silence your mind. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness. The third support is 24 hours if possible, as long as you can. This awareness, you must maintain it for as long as you can, continuously. Then finally is, of course, trust. Trust your true nature, your nature to meditate. Do not allow the thought to come in to disturb your meditation, because when thought is active, you are not aware anymore. You cannot be with your true mind, your silent mind. That is your meditative mind. So with this understanding, just relax, maintain awareness, silence everything to stabilize that nature. Then if you can do it, use it to meditate after that. Just maintain awareness, silent. That is what meditation is. Through that silence, you will be able to become aware of many things. The observation from the awareness nature is the one that brings forth the understanding to allow you to develop self-knowledge, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, apart from the thought process, the thinking, the mundane mind or the thinking mind. Is there anything else beyond that thought process? Find out. There is a nature within. When the thought cease, when you don't think, the awareness nature is your true nature, your true mind. That is the sacred nature within. When you understand that, when you can realize that, you actually like recall who you are, what you are. But that one is not a being. It is a nature, it's just a nature, an awareness nature that is completely silent, still, tranquil, and just awake. That one can insight into phenomena, can observe. That is a silent mind. That one can trigger awakening. So this is what awareness-based meditation is. It has nothing to do with the thought. When you develop this well, you will come to understand a lot of things. Then you will realize the five aggregates of form and mind, which is our thought process, which is our mundane mind, is not the true mind. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. The Buddha called it mano. So that one is the one that distracts the living being, that confuses the living being, that condition delusion when you have not developed the awakening, the understanding of life, of who you are, what you are. So all this can only happen if you know how to meditate the correct way, following the Buddha's advice and his Dhamma, means develop more and more sati or mindfulness, stabilize it until it becomes very clear They use it to observe, to awaken, to develop understanding. Okay, I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. Then once the alarm trigger, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed, try to maintain it for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to live life, to develop the heedfulness in life, the daily mindfulness, so that you are always mindful, heedful in the midst of life. You are no longer heedlessly lost in thought, holding on to all the fear, worry, anxiety, and excitement of life, but finally becoming miserable after you get yourself entangled through confusion and delusion. So all this meditative understanding. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the clarity of mind state that can enable you to live life, to understand life. Because these are the mind state that doesn't think, doesn't heedlessly lost in thought, doesn't entangle itself, it's just aware within. Without thought. Most of the time it is aware. It only arises the thought when you need to use thought to communicate, to express yourself, to arise something. Sometimes to be attentive, to listen, to develop understanding, or to do whatever is useful in life. To arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action, instead of heedlessly creating all the unnecessary thought process. We call it the wrong thought, thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that condition the evil roots to arise and make you evil. So these are heedless thinking, frivolous thought, unproductive thought, means inappropriate wrong thought that can lead to downfall. So the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful is very important, so that it is tranquil to you, most of the time aware. And this is heedful living, where your mind is constantly aware, ever mindful. This is the mind that can understand, that can awaken, that can insight into phenomena. It is different from the heedlessly thinking mind, the mundane mind that create a lot of sankara activity, a lot of mental activity that are full of inappropriate mental intention within, born of sakkayadity, self-delusion, born of the evil roots of greed, selfishness, emotional negativity, including fear, worry, anxiety, envy, and jealousy. These are all negative thought processes with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this one will bring about negativity or karma. That's why you live your life in this way. It becomes heedless living. Instead, if you train your mind, meditate, and develop the peaceful mind, the easiest way. Relax, peaceful, tranquil, and just away. That one is helpful, mindful, and most of the time quiet. That's why there is clarity, there is awareness. And when you have this type of mind, you can observe silently. Then you can understand. And it develops wisdom or understanding on its own. It can insight into phenomena, awaken to truth, develop its own understanding. That is the meditative awareness. So hopefully, with this understanding, you will see the importance of meditation to train the mind, to develop the ability to be mindful, to be aware within, instead of allowing this thinking mind to every time drift away, become heedless, constantly lost in thought, and doing all the wrong thing, unbeneficial thing, creating all the heedless thinking, the wrong thought, that lack proper understanding, lack Dhamma understanding. Okay, we'll continue for a short while. Then after that, we will open up for second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer, and Dhamma sharing. So just to recap, today's sharing is really good. You must go back and listen to it. It's explaining to you the great benefits of taking this Bodhisattva vows. How even that decision to go this way, the merits that you receive by receiving this Bodhisattva vow precepts and the three sets of pure precepts to develop the cultivation is already very, very meritorious, and everything is explained there. So with this understanding, you must develop the faith. You must develop the sincerity and the diligence to go this way. Then after that, the next Sunday, I will go through your section 3. Section 3 is, I will lead you all to take the Bodhisattva vow. So in the meantime, you all should go through the yellow card, the whole of the complete Bodhisattva vow. So this is the yellow card. There are four small pages, but because we open it up, it becomes like two pages. It's actually half the size, but we make it into a flat A4 sheet so that easy for you all to see. So we have page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. So all these are very useful. Basically, you have a few sections that is very useful. So section 1, I put the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. This is specifically for Brother Theosophy Meter, because I only administered to them thus far. So the first section is on making the aspiration, special aspiration to walk this Bodhisattva way. So we invoke the power of merits and blessings to arise the causes and conditions for this nature of yours to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life of the life. First one is right view with regards to the law of karma, law of dependent origination, the point number 2. Then right view with regards to the 2 aspects of the 5 aggregates of form and mind. Then understanding the 5 very important Dhamma understanding regarding the three universal characteristics. There is the five aggregate of form and mind. They are all impermanent. When you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it is non-self, anatta. And because non-self, anatta, impermanent, everything that arises, exists, and passes away has no reality. It's just empty nature existence, a phenomenal world of consciousness, not what you think. Then we chant this Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anicchang, Vedana Anatta. Then we repeat for the rest, eh? Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Then final summary, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. So this one must be developed until they become very stable and very clear, so that when you recite them, you will understand. Then you will understand the purpose of the thought process, the form and mind. They are karmically conditioned for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, and to do whatever you want to do and develop. So we must not be deluded by it. We must make use of it to develop wisdom and to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action, so that we can be a blessing to all. Then to constantly recite the understanding of the three universal characteristics. Then finally, the last right view is, having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts. They are following the advice of the Buddha, of all Samasambuddha. So these three sets of pure precepts are very important. First is to avoid all evil, and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, so as to be very complete. Because in the teaching, the Theravada teaching, Dhammapada verse 183, they just have the advice of all Buddhas stated in a very simplified manner. It said, Sabba Papasa Akaranam, means all evil is to be avoided. But if you don't understand what constitutes evil, you cannot do it. If you don't develop mindfulness and awareness of what constitutes evil, you also cannot see it, cannot be aware of it. So this understanding is very important. That's why we take the three sets of pure precept by modifying its understanding to make it complete. So I read to you again. The first set of pure precept is, we undertake the training rule to avoid all evils after understanding clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. Where they are the root of all evil, make you evil. Then you have to contemplate, reflect, elaborate on it, and understand it completely. Then after that, the second set of precept is not only to cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition. Here we put as to undertake the training rule to cultivate all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. So this one is to have the tools to help us in time of need and tribulation. Then finally, the third set of pure precept is not just purify our mind to develop wisdom. We go one step further. We undertake the training rule to cultivate wisdom, to perfect ourselves, so that we can have the tools and ability to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. So these are the three things that we develop These are special aspiration for us to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then second section, taking all the four basic ones. This one is very useful. This one, I have a format for you, which I think is one of the best way developed by the Mahayana. So they followed one of the Mahayana sutta. I think it's based on Pusyana. So in the taking of the vow, before that, we will recite this sentence or this paragraph which Pusyam Pusa has actually lead us. He said, just as all the previous Sukhatas, the Buddhas, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so too will this nature of mind for the sake of all living beings generates the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish and vow to accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. Then after that only we take the vow. This nature of mind vows, further vows with ultimate sincerity, utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the four initial basic vows of a Bodhisattva. The first basic vow is this nature of mind vow to liberate countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. And the second Bodhisattva vow is this nature of my vow to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. Then the third Bodhisattva vow is this nature of my vows to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas and realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of my vow to perfect the 10 paramitas or 10 perfections to realize the unsurpassed Samasam Buddhahood. So these are very beautiful understanding. Then number three is additional vow to break coming obstruction to bring about the way. Yeah? You can go back and read through it. Then additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation is under section four. So this will complete all the understanding that you need to take the vow. You can do it at home yourself if you want to, or you can do it under somebody who has the understanding and ability to guide you and to help you take it. So there are many ways to do it, but most important is your own faith, your own sincerity and understanding. And when you make that decision to go that way, that pure mind, the Bodhi mind that is planted, is very important, very beautiful. It will go a long, long way. And once you do this line, when the sasana is still around, it will pave the way for all your future coming. You don't have to worry anymore. Once this is done properly, you will have the causes and conditions to have this Dhamma understanding, life after life, beautifully develop and evolve. And when this Bodhi mind is properly planted with the faith, the sincerity and the understanding, it will nature, it will activate by itself when the time comes, and it will bring forth the causes and conditions for all this understanding to unfold. And you will have the ability to understand this teaching, develop the way to do it because of all the things that we did. In fact, the additional vow, the additional vows, and also the additional vow to break all coming obstruction to bring about the way. That one will help you move very fast. Then apart from that, you also have additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. So to break karmic obstruction is also very important. So that part, make a note. Okay, with that, I think we can open up for second session. So second session, we will open up for meditation reporting.
Just you.
Ah, yes, Joey. Yeah.
I'm Zoe.
Yes.
I'd like to ask, I'd like to seek a clarification from Brother Jill. How do one go about cultivating strong affinity with the Buddhas and Bodhisattva and to request their nature's blessings for protection? Can you please explain?
Can.
Thank you.
Maybe you didn't attend my retreat before. In the retreat, I explained it's very easy when you have the understanding. But when you don't have the understanding, it may not be easy. So what is important is these great beings, they have their spiritual nature developed. So it's not an individual. Is a nature that this great being has developed, like Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all these great beings. They have their nature. Even my nature is also a nature. And all these are the perfection and cultivation that we have developed through our vows, our cultivation, our perfection, our understanding, and all of our virtue, wisdom, and understanding, they are all there. So this nature is very different. It's not an individual that keep record of everything. No, it manifests on its own. But the way to cultivate affinity, it's just like how you cultivate affinity with the triple gem. You take refuge with the triple gem. That's how you create affinity. Take refuge means you have the understanding that this is where you can find the teaching. These are the triple gem, the most rare and most beautiful, where the teachings of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, are still there. And without this teaching, you cannot free your mind, you cannot liberate your mind. So all these great beings is the same. They are part of the triple gem. Well, they are enlightened disciples of the Buddhas. They are also, some of them, Sammasambuddha. So the triple gem constitutes the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. The Dhamma is the teaching, the truth that they have realized and awakened to. And the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. So triple gem and great beings, they are together. So when you seek their affinity, you actually technically have to create affinity through what? Like you take refuge with the triple gem. It's to create affinity with the triple gem. Because when I say, Buddhang saranang gacchami, to the Buddha, I go for my refuge. Like all these great beings, you have faith in them, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni, Amitabha. You develop the faith. Then you pay your respect. The respect itself, the pure, sincere mind that go for and pay the respect and develop the affinity with them. Then certain great beings, they have their vows, which are very powerful, very strong. So you must link to their vow. The Mahayana call it Xiang Ying. So like Kuan Yin, the vow is very simple. Whomsoever who recite her name or Fo Hao, means the Dhamma name or whatever, there will be a response very beautifully and wholesome. So the response is from that nature, not Kuan Yin as a being. It's that nature. So like if you have faith in Kuan Yin, you chant the Ta Pei Zhou, the Xing Jing, or you chant Namo Bun, sorry, Namo Guan Si Ying Bhusa, or Namo Da Zi Da Bei Guan Si Ying Bhusa. Then the other one is Om Be Mi Me Mi Ho. And many other of the Fo Hao that is connected to their teaching. So for Amitabha, it's the same, the 48 great vows. For Sakyamuni Buddha, he actually advised very well. He said, once you take refuge in the Triple Gem, you not only seek affinity with him alone, it's the entire rhyme, three periods of time, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's the reason why a lot of Theravada practitioners, before they understand the Mahayana teaching, they like don't believe the Mahayana teaching because they were so conditioned by certain line of thinking that say Mahayana not the authentic one. So if you are in that category, not much we can do. But if you are the one that is more open-minded, liberal, willing to listen and understand, then when they come to understand, initially it's like they have this style of like thought, thinking process that tell them, ayo, why I go after Theravada? We only got one Sakyamuni Buddha and the enlightened disciple of Sakyamuni. Not like the Mahayana, they got so many Bodhisattvas, great beings and honesty. But then, they don't understand. That's why I had to explain to the Theravada practitioner. I said, do you know Sakyamuni Buddha taught you to take refuge in the Triple Gem? And the Triple Gem is very complete. All Buddhas of the three periods of time, including the Theravada, the Mahayana, and the Vajrayana, or whatever Yana, they are included. That all of truth, the teaching, are included. And all of the enlightened disciples of all Sammasambuddha are in the Triple Gem. That's why this Triple Gem is very, very complete and encompassing. So when you take refuge in the Triple Gem, actually you cover everything. But people don't understand the significance of the Triple Gem. Triple Gem covering all these great beings. All this understanding is not understood. So when you have faith in the Triple Gem or any of these great beings, then every time you pay your respect, you express your gratitude, you express your thanks, then you develop what we call gratitude towards them. Yeah. Then we pay our respect. Then we sincerely make that aspiration or request. So after we thank them, then we should develop the sincere mind out of love, compassion, and gratitude towards us as sentient beings. They have come to be a blessing to us, and they have helped humanity, sentient beings, for so long. So now knowing their nature, knowing what they are capable of, you should sincerely to your whatever respect or affinity with them, request for their blessing, protection and guidance, life after life, whenever your form and mind arise, whenever your nature arise. So why blessing, protection and guidance? Blessing is to bless your whatever nature, means the form and mind, and your whatever spiritual cultivation. So this is the blessing part your nature can deliver. And protection is to protect our form and mind, because our form and mind is very fragile. Like this human body, this life, is very fragile. If you don't take care of your karma, you don't have the good parami, even the pandemic can just wipe you off. Then the human form is so fragile and what we call like delicate, very delicate, easily destroyed. Sometimes one mishappening can be an accident or one disease or anything. Even there are a lot of things that happen. Sometimes people, as they go through life, they just go for certain type of activity like sports, swimming, or then you make an accident. Even the F1 driver, you remember, Schumacher, Michael Schumacher, he was so successful, so famous, he every time end up champion. And yet, because he likes skiing, it just happened. Then he paralyzed. That's why this one need protection. Our nature don't need protection. Our nature is eternal life, unborn, the unconditioned. So that one, no need protection. But the form and mind need protection. Then the last one is guidance, so that they will guide you, prevent you from deviating. And if you have affinity with them, all these great beings is very beautiful. You will know they are all around to protect you, to give you the blessing, to guide you, and to teach you. In fact, this life alone, when my nature came, there were so many conditions and occasions that all these beings arise. And I saw how Guan Yin protected this form and mind of mine this life 3 times. Otherwise, this form and mind will get died 3 times. So all these are the understanding that you need to develop it. So when you develop it, you must have the faith, the sincerity, the gratitude, the understanding. Then you must cultivate affinity to paying respect to them, chanting their whatever for how and all those things. Then cultivate the teachings that they teach. Then develop very strong aspiration, so that life after life, whenever your nature arises, you seek their blessing, protection, and guidance, and thank them for what they have done for you. Then vow to repay all this through fulfilling your 4 basic vows to develop the perfection of Samasambuddhahood, so that when the time comes, you can do the same work as what they have done. Follow the whole lineage of great beings' cultivation. So hopefully with all this understanding, you know how to do it. But first is for you to plant that thing, the seed of Bodhi. Then have that faith very strong, be sincere, then determined to do true understanding. Because this is so beautiful. Understanding this teaching is so beautiful and so important. So when you have all this understanding, you must make the vow, make the aspiration, and determine firmly, strongly, to go this way, and seek their protection, guidance, and blessing. This one will have to come after that, because before you take the vow, all this may not be useful. But after you take the vow, when you seek their blessing, protection, and I realize my nature just moved. That's why technically I told you I don't need to do anything, because they are there, their nature. And I invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for them to give this nature of mine and form in mind of mine the protection, the blessing, and the guidance, life after life, whenever this nature of mine arises. Then my nature tend to have this reverential salutation. Every time it feels the great being, it has gratitude, it thanks them, then it pays respect, then it develops affinity. then it cultivate, then it recite their four how, their chanting and everything. That's why this line, even though I English educated, I find it very funny. I have great affinity Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. I knew when I was very young that my mother had very strong faith in Kuan Yin. Then I can pay respect to Kuan Yin. I can chant Namo Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. I like the Kuan Yin chanting. I like the Heart Sutta, the Sing Jing, the Da Bi Zhou and all those things. Then the Om period. All these things, automatic. Then Amitabha Buddha also said, the Amitabha, Amitabha, that type of chanting. And the Kuan Yin chanting also say, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin. It just like reside in my nature, my heart. From there it come out. And whenever I hear all this, my nature arose and I know something is connected. Otherwise, how can it happen? Then all the other great beings also say, the four great beings, Ren Su Pusa, Pusen Pusa, Di San Wang Pusa, and also this Pusen Pusa, then Long Su Pusa also. All these great beings, their name, I will know how to pay respect and I will know how to create affinity. Then there are many more. Like recently, I think the previous few retreats, Chun Ti Pusa also came. Then when I read her vow, I knew, wow, she is also very unique, very great being. So there are a lot of these great beings where you can cultivate affinity. And when you can really do it, your cultivation becomes so much easier. Because their nature is fantastic. Oh, they don't do anything. Their nature, based on your sincerity, your faith, and your request, that nature will manifest. It's just like Kuan Yin's mouth. Whomsoever who call upon her for how or need, there will be a response. So powerful. That's why a lot of people have faith in Kuan Yin. Even my mother, there was an incident when I saw it happening. That time my mother was 64 years old. She liked to walk because she's from the old generation, not educated, but worked very hard. And she walked a lot. So that day, I remember, I received a phone call that my mother had an accident. And my mother's faith in Kuan Yin was so strong, she will go and buy the Kuan Yin's amulet and the check and all those things. And whenever she go back to China, she will buy and she will wear. Then I went now to the goldsmith shop. She was actually unconscious after the accident. When she met the accident, she was crossing the road. I think one of the motor vehicle banged onto her and she fainted, and there was some blood in the head and all those things. So they quickly carry her in and move it to one of the shop corridor, and that shop owner was very kind, took out an armchair and let her rest down there and fan him, ventilate her and all those things. Then later on she regained consciousness and she asked the shop owner to call us. Then we came in. Then I asked my mom, I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, he was crossing the road and suddenly one vehicle banged into her. Then I said, are you alright? Then she just checked in. I think so, I'm alright. He said, no, nothing happened to her though, but head was bleeding though. Then she regained consciousness. Then she told me the jacket she wore broke. And I know my mother has faith in Kuan Yin. That's why she is very well protected. And there is another incident I must share with you. You remember Penang, the ferry incident. There was one year, Guan Yin's birthday, Guan Yin Dan, in Bukit Matajam site, I think, on the Butterworth, not the island side, on the mainland side. Normally during that festival, a lot of people go over and devotee pay respect and make offering, then they come back. So the ferry was full. So the ferry incident was because of the overload. I was saying that year the ferry, actually the platform and all those things collapsed, and a lot of people died, casualty. So what happened was, my mom and my dad, they didn't go to Bukit Matajam. They wanted to go over to Penang because it was a Guan Yin's birthday occasion. So my mom and my dad want to visit my the other brother in Penang, who is also an engineer, electrical engineer. Then we received the news of the ferry accident, that something very major happened. Then my brothers and sister, they didn't tell me until later, when they realized my parents haven't reached my brother's house, because they're supposed to reach quite early. So what happened was, they called me at about, I think, 10 p.m. or, but the incident happened much earlier. Then I asked my brother only one question. Did mother go along with father? They told me yes. Two of them go. I said, you don't have to worry. If mother is there, nothing will happen. And you know, after that, after midnight, my third brother, the electrical engineer, called from Penang. He said, dad and mom safely arrived. Then I asked him what happened. He said, mom and dad say they were very lucky. I said, why? Because when they reached there, they were about to board that ferry that had the accident. Then what happened was, my mother told my father he wanted to go to the toilet first. Then she went to the toilet, she cannot come back in time. My father was scolding her. He said, see, missed the ferry already, had to wait for the next one. My mother said, never mind, wait. And you know what happened? Because they missed that ferry was the one that got accident. The whole platform collapsed, because I think the ferry was very old. Then those who went in, all affected. Then the ferry service was disrupted for many hours and they were trapped there. And my brother cannot reach them. No handphone that time. Nothing. Then later on, when the ferry service resumed, then my parents arrived. Then only my brother called. So you look at how Guan Yin has that ability. And this is real life example that I know, because when my mother was staying with me, looking after my two children, she had a lot of joy. Then I taught her to chant. I say, you don't know anything, you have everything, you only like Guan Yin. So I buy her the beads. I say, you hold this bead and chant in Hakka, Namo Guan Yin Pusa. She just chant like that. And she has very strong faith, I know. I can see, I can feel. And I told her, don't worry. You and that, this life, because of what my vow was earlier on. Because previous life, they don't know who my nature is. But they helped me before. They did certain small thing, but very, very wholesome thing. And because they don't know who I am, my nature know at that time, I gave a pure wish. I said, I vow to take this couple across. Because they were very sincere and they just do without knowing who am I. So what happened was, my nature know the best way to benefit them is to become their children. Because I know they are sincere couple, they will never like neglect their duty. They will take care of their children. And because of what they did, my nature's understanding, I will invoke that power of marriage for causes and conditions, for them to have the causes and conditions to free and to develop this understanding of the Dhamma, life after life after this. That's why the parami that they receive to becoming my parent, the sincerity, the love, the compassion, the gratitude, the sacrifice that they have given me, the education, the whatever support that they have given to me, all those are very wholesome, meritorious. Then I took my mother to Brickfield Temple. Then I installed a Kuan Yin in my house for her to pay rest like she won the altar. I actually allow her to have the altar. That's like all this were done because I have gratitude towards my mother, and my mother was the one that actually brought me to Kuan Yin Miao. And when I was young, I followed my mom a lot because she go and do her way. Pay respect to Kuan Yin and all that. And she always chant and recite Kuan Yin. So that is what affinity can bring about when you have faith. There is a response. So I saw it, I witnessed it, and myself, my nature also go through many occasions. If you have the faith, you are a cultivator, you will understand all this. So Joey, hopefully with this explanation, you can develop faith and understanding. Okay? Joey, are you there?
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Theo, for your comprehensive explanation.
Thank you. We also like to thank you because you created the condition for me to explain. Otherwise, I don't have the condition to explain. My mother's story, I seldom tell, I think. I only share once a while, but not so detailed. Well, this time, your question was very relevant. It was very, very appropriate. That's why the causes and conditions were there.
Thank you.
So we thank you too, Sadhu, for arising those conditions.
Amitabha, Brother Theo, Mrs. Theo, and Kaya. What shall we share? Okay.
It's up to you, Because today the topic was on the Bodhisattva way, the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So you can share whatever your understanding or ask any question.
Regarding this Bodhisattva vows, for my personal understanding, although I don't have much understanding of the vows initially when I attended the Cameron Highland retreat.
That time you were very new.
But because I have a very strong affinity with Kuan Yin.
You also have affinity with Kuan Yin.
I have very strong affinity, because when I was young, I also followed my mother to the temple. Temple also have the Kuan Yin. Plus my mom's house also have a Kuan Yin, since then my affinity sort of like established, like, although it wasn't like very very strong or what, but I just follow my mom, she does that, I just do that, like, that kind of thing. So it's from my mother that established that affinity, but after since then, when I came down to Singapore, so my affinity not very strong. Because I'm staying here, and it started again, the so-called affinity re-established, again.
When your sister introduced you to my class.
Yes, yes. But prior to that, I also went to a temple in Singapore.
That has a
Kuan Yin, you know, Kuan Yin.
Statue there.
Statue that is very, very, how you call that, famous la, in
Singapore.
Yeah, famous. Everybody will go. So I will go there like a special festival of Kuan Yin, like Kuan Yin's birthday, Kuan Yin's Enlightenment Day, and Kuan Yin's Living Home Day. These three festivals, I will go, you know.
Every year,
I go these three festivals, you know. Yeah. Mm. So this is the kind of minimum thing I will do, establishing affinity. I also didn't know that it's called establishing affinity.
You establish affinity. You have gratitude towards them and you thank them, then you establish affinity.
But at that time, I do not know this called establishing affinity, but this is what I do, you know.
Yeah.
This I do following my mom's tradition, you know.
I do that.
These three festivals I will do, plus Vesak Day, I will go.
Go
and pay respect and, you know, do my minimum kind of thing, you know, Buddhist devotee will do, you know. After that comes to before going to Brother Teo's Cameron Highland retreat, actually I started to have a sudden interest in Buddhism, you know. I attend the classes in Kuo Ming San Temple. So in that Kuo Ming San Temple, there is this beautiful statue also, Kuan Yin, you know.
That is
very mesmerizing in the night. Because I went to the temple for the three step one bow, you know. So that night, when you look up at the Kuan Yin statue, right, because of the lighting and the atmosphere on Vesak Day is very, very different. The vibration, like you said, is very different. The ambience, the nature is very, very different, you know. So you just go and do the three set one bow and somehow you establish the mindfulness, you know, in my first attempt, Brother Teo.
Very good.
So like Kuan Yin's nature is there, is it, Brother Teo?
Sadhu. No wonder you can meet me. Paramita, the way they come is because of Kuan Yin's affinity with Kuan Yin. I realize a lot of them have affinity with Kuan Yin.
So that is how I feel. Then now you talk about the Bodhisattva vows. So coming back to this Bodhisattva vow, Cameron Highland Retreat. I do not have hesitation to take the Bodhisattva vow.
You straight away can just blend in and accept the thing and just do it. That's why it helped you so much after that.
But Pratio, even though I do not understand fully the Bodhisattva vows, but I don't have hesitation to take it, no?
Correct, it's from your past. You don't have karmic obstruction. If you have karmic obstruction, you will have hesitation. If you have say all those things in the past that prevent people from taking the vow, that it will come and obstruct you. But there you didn't, that's why you straight away and very naturally you take. Those who did all those nonsense, even this time during the vow taking early on, there were many from, I remember Penang in particular. They have doubt and all those things. Then I have to make that decision. I said, it's okay, it's up to the individual. It's not something compulsory. If you feel that you're not ready, you don't want to have it, then it's okay, up to you. But there were some, I don't know, because of the coming obstruction and the resistance, they reacted. Like, I got a lot of feedback, like a lot of these people commented, or the way they comment, don't need to talk about it. But I told them, never mind, just let things be, because when it comes to Dhamma, spiritual thing is like that. If you have coming obstruction, it will obstruct you. Even you have the condition to come because of some wholesome karma, wholesome condition, but you cannot receive, means you cannot receive because of the coming obstruction. Like this, if you do this and influence other people to have the doubt and the fear, and create that type of negativity, then that is the karmic obstruction. In future, you will be influenced by all this that people create. So, must have an open mind, must have understanding. So all these are very useful, very important. Yeah, I witnessed them all. I knew, my nature knew. There is nothing my nature can do because this is their coming obstruction. This is what nature is. Truth is. So everything is just the way it is. But it turned out beautiful. Those who are supposed to receive and have, those who are not supposed to receive and be influenced, they will be influenced. So finally, when people understand, all of them manage to turn around. So this is very important sharing and understanding. So salute to you too, for your affinity with Kuan Yin.
So that is the affinity with Kuan Yin. That I established lah. After learning from Ratio, so I mean from the classes that I attended, right? So yeah. I understand this affinity, this developing affinity, developing faith, respect, our gratitude, towards the great being,
Sattva.
So it's from here I mean, kind of fully understand what is going on. Otherwise, I'll be like blah blah. Just continue with my ritual.
But as you continue your cultivation, the understanding will come. Then when it comes, you become different again. Then you must actually develop the ability to have gratitude, understanding. Then rejoice, then determine to have this understanding life after life with you so that you can use it to benefit yourself and others. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation. As you develop, you understand, you have more understanding to develop all this and share with those who wants to understand or have the condition to receive this understanding. So all these are very beautiful, very beautiful.
One other thing I also realized from Brother Teo's today's class is about this, the last section that Brother Teo mentioned, that is why when you go to all this spiritual trip, the tears can just flow. This part, when I went to this spiritual trip in India, 2017. So I went to this mountain peak where the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva statue, located at the top of the hill,
I thought it's Sakyamuni Buddha's way place. The first
This voucher thing is where the Kuan Yin statue is on top of the core hill, next to this voucher statue kind of thing, stone that shaped like voucher, As we go there as a group, we did our offering and so forth, and then we settled down, and I was sitting there doing the chanting of the... Hunting of this
Xing Qing.
So the tears just came and.
Sadhu, means your affinity is very strong.
So the tears came, but actually I also don't know, like Brad Teo, I also don't know what is going on, you cannot stop.
Said already, your thought will not understand. Your thought is memory from this life. But your nature inside will move because of the affinity. The nature recognizes.
So the nature recognizes, like what Maurice you here. But the thought will not understand because the
this line, memory. They don't have any inking at all. Don't know why.
Correct. Well, actually, Brother Teo, I wasn't able to understand this until today that you mentioned this part, you know.
That's why you have to... Like,
oh, okay, finally I understand why I'm...
More exposure to develop understanding. If I don't share with real life example, people cannot understand. You can go and ask our Gayamita, our spiritual trees, so many of them. The tears came to all the way place. Even Brother Song, Sister Mimi, and I witnessed them very severe. But joy, deep inside, it came out. Even Alicia and many others, the tears just came. And a lot of
Brother,
that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, this tears, it just flow and cannot stop it. And then
yeah, you can't stop one. It's not sadness. Yeah. It's tears of joy. It's deep inside. Come on.
Yeah. Deep inside, and then you just continue until I finish the trip going down the hill. You know that like it's like a few hours later. You know, but of course initially it was like crazy. You know, people also like wondering now what is going on. You know, I mean I also don't know what is going on. You know what I mean. So, no need to know
because the nature will know. The nature recognize. That's why you need to go through all this. Then when people who have the understanding share with you, you can understand. Yeah, all this, unless you have gone through the cultivation, you can never understand all this. Initially, during the early years, when the Kayamita joined me on spiritual trip, they all don't know what is all this. Then I explain. As I explain, they become excited. Then more and more people come and ask. Then all these things can happen. Even our Mr. Earth was saying, he also, after he saw Song, he was feeling funny. How come Song like that? They asked me, separated with you. Song got problem. Oh, cry until like that. I said, no, Chen Shiying makes a reason. Then you know what happened after that? He went and observed Song. Then he feel funny. Not long, his own tears came out. And he cannot stop. He thought maybe influenced by Song. Then he walked very far away. The tears still come out. He said, oh, then after that, he also don't know what is happening. Then he asked some Kayamita. Kayamita said, you ask Brother Teo. He did not ask me until when you reach the bottom of the hill. And then when he asked me during dinner time, then explained to me, wow, congratulations, you have affinity with Pusen Pusa. I said, no wonder you can become our Tao Yu. And that was the first year we really engaged him and he took us. And you remember that trip? In between, there were these hill slopes. The landslide happened. But we were so lucky, After we passed that route, there is only that one route that people always take on. That one landslip. After we arrived, we heard the news that night. After we crossed that place, 2-3 hours later, landslip, and the traffic all closed, nobody can go up Putosan. That one is Ermesan. Then we were so lucky, because of that, less tourists, less buses come. When we went to Amazon, the whole place was so much less tourists and people. And everything was so beautiful. Then after that, we thought, cannot go back already, time now. Then the night before, the driver received phone call, said, tomorrow morning, when we supposed to leave, the place already clear, traffic can go already. Then the driver also hesitate. He said, but we leave so early, He said, very likely not open yet, Then Mr. Er and Tao Yu all, they don't know how to make decision. They scared our schedule or disrupted. Then we end up caught in the jam. So he came and talked to me, I said, Brother, how? I said, never mind. You ask the driver to come and see me. I just want to check with the driver. Well, I know you talk to other people, no use. Huh? But I saw that driver driving. I was sitting in front at that time. That driver was very skillful, very good. So I asked him, I said, Sifu, 你的看法怎样? Then he very good, no? He tell me all the things that I need to know. He said, normally in China, it's like that. He said, open means they will open, but what time to know? And he said, very likely, this stretch, we will reach very early, you know. Then if we really not open, we have to wait, no? Then I said, what is your suggestion? Is there any alternative route? He said, yeah, there is one, but very much further, longer. I think a few hours longer. I said, what you mean? He said, where we take a detour? I said, that route you drive before, no? He said, yeah, I drive before. Scenery very good. He said, the four seasons, everything is there. Huh? I said, got such thing. Then I make that easy. Okay, I say we go detour. So luckily we went and detour, and that route, we're not supposed to go on. We saw all the four seasons. It was at one place, one junction, just the curve there. The bus stopped for us. This snow, they really snowing. Then the other stretch, sunny and all those things. Then you have certain area, autumn. The weather, the nature, also beautiful, so pristine. So we stopped at all those areas, and he even took us to the rural native people's area to even do some shopping, to buy some things that they sell. So everybody was so happy. Then we spent the time doing the detour so that we are not caught. Then he still communicate with the other driver. Because he got a lot of contact. And the other driver told him, ah, since I say okay. Then he told me, he said, Zhang Zhen Zhen, so we went. And when we went there, we were caught for a while only. Less than half an hour only. After that, the whole traffic moved. So then we had problem with the hotel booking, because we booked the hotel, which is much further away, and we were already late for a few hours. So by the time we go to the hotel, I think 4 a.m. in the morning, we cannot sleep really, no point. Then that Tao Yu was worried, isn't it? The China side only talked to her. And Er came and talked to me. He said, "Bloody hell, how reach there? 4 a.m. in the morning." No. He said, "You all haven't had dinner yet." I said, "Wherever in between you can find a hotel, we just go out. No need to go there." Then he's got cancellation, honestly. But luckily, this China group, they have contact. So that China side one, he said, "I'll call the lady boss." He called the lady boss. Wow, the lady boss got contact. He said, "Okay, you all can check into this hotel, which is nearer. We reach there before 11 p.m. I think 10 something p.m. The other side, he canceled. He said he canceled because he know them. So luckily that was arranged. So we stopped at this 10 something one. Then we had our dinner. Then after that, the Kayamita, some of them go shopping, then some, and remember Jasmine, go and do the what they call massage. She very daring, alone, she go. Then some Kayamita also. And so that trip turned out blessing in disguise. So everything is like meant to be. So you don't worry. When you have affinity, when you are protected, Lord is saying you can check with all the Kayamita who went on that trip, the three of them. Song, they all, many of them, Yun Chan and many of them. Even Qin Hao was also there. So this was really beautiful. Okay.